Have you ever seen a large, intimidating, human-like shape? Is there a missing link in the wilderness of Ohio? Do wild families ransack farms in the Buckeye State? Today we test the believability of the Ohio Grassman.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That's right. Tyler, we are still recording remotely just because I want to be cautious. I really don't want to get COVID.
You know what? My germies.
I mean, I've grown accustomed to your face and this, I haven't seen you in like 2 weeks.
I know, you can't even really see me now, because even though you have the camera up, I got this big old pop filter and this mic in my face.
Yeah, my face is completely in the open for you, because I'm using a not microphone like you are.
I can actually secretly see you through this pop filter right here. It's a little shaded, but I see you. But I'm excited. We're talking about another form of, or variety, or type of Bigfoot. We've done the Honey Island Swamp Monster. Now we're talking about the Ohio Grassman. We're talking about the Buckeye State. Talking about the hometown, the home turf.
Yeah, this is really home turf. Like this, I didn't realize how close the Grassman was to our homes.
Yeah,
like literally, he could be outside my house. Probably not. It's probably just Clark, but it could be the Grassman.
Could be. And if you want to hear us talk about this and Charlie quiz me on the Ohio Grassman, we do have that up on Patreon. It is there. Not going to say how well or how poorly I did, but it is there. But I will say, let me just say this. In 30 years, and I do tend to look at my feet when I walk, but I have not seen the Ohio Grassman.
Yeah, no, I actually haven't heard many stories about it. Before we get into the story, this is listener submission motivated. Like, we got a listener submission for this. I was like, that's a great story. Let's do a whole episode about it.
Yeah. Those are I love those ones where a listener submission turns into a full episode, like La Lechuza.
Yeah, exactly. This definitely was inspired by that because it's a good format because you have this compelling evidence. I'll stop talking about formats and all the behind the scenes bullshit.
Yeah, no one cares.
Let's talk about the Grassman though. Ohio is real.
That's true.
There's some people that think Ohio is not real.
Yeah. It's just land. It's just land and corn with fake lines on a map, but it is real.
It's so weird that you say it's just land and corn, because I grew up in the city, and like I never got the Ohio is farmland concept.
It's just, okay, it's just land with buildings and giant eagles that have corn.
Yeah, giant eagles that don't have good corn. For the good corn, you have to go to Foots, that's what my grandma says. Foots is out of business. The Grassman is a cryptid. We know that. Bigfoot-like entity that is from southern, central, and northern Ohio. And if you look up the Grassman, you will find casual encounters from Ohioans that are all over the state. From Cuyahoga, Summit, Stark, Hamilton, Butler, Franklin, and so many other counties. When Ohio was first settled, the Europeans thought the Grassman was a made-up beast, kind of like a boogeyman, rather than an actual cryptid. But only until they started to actually see the creature.
Does this go back to 1803?
The farthest back we got is 1860 something. If you can hear my dogs in the background, I apologize. That's why we recorded Tyler's, because my dogs are wild.
They're just like, we love the grass, man. We love grass.
Yeah, no, the farthest story we got back is 1860 something.
Okay. I just happen to know the year that Ohio came about. That's why.
What year is it?
1803, because our bicentennial was in 2003.
Oh. Do you know the date Ohio was found?
The date?
Yeah.
Come on, son. No.
I just know. Okay.
Wait, hold on. I proudly don't know that date.
Well, it's my grandma's birthday.
Okay. Well, at least
and I don't know what it is.
Oh, I was about to say, at least you have an emotional significance to it.
I should, but I suck, and I don't know what it is.
She wasn't there at the time.
Every time my dad would tell me it was Ohio's birthday and your grandma's birthday, I'm like, was she there?
Did she pick the name?
I mean, it wasn't that far away. If I'm being honest,
it is like a very Ohio, like Ohio, like oh yeah. Hi, oh.
Oh hi, hi there.
That makes it sound like more Montana, but
oh, speaking of Ohio, I just listened to the No podcast about the last one that came out,
No Sleep,
and it was an episode that took place like in Cleveland. It was really cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the topic. So I wanted to do a thing that we haven't done in a while. I want to set the scene.
You got one person in the car.
Put out a good episode.
Jeez. Chill.
Say nuclear, right? Nuclear.
Nuclear. Not nuclear. Wait, what? Nuclear. Nuclear.
Yeah.
Nuclear.
I think my dad wrote that comment. You are a settler trying to start a family in the gentle hills of rural Ohio. You have your wife, 6 kids, 2 dogs, and your cattle. You wake up at 4:53 a.m. to milk the cows, and you wander out into the fields with 3 of your sons and buckets. You think, on the outskirts of your farmhouse, you see a dark shape. You do a double take, and it's gone. You smell what you think is rotten meat, faintly upwind. Maybe it's just a dead deer. After a few hours of milking, you walk back out and you see the feed from your chickens have been scattered and eaten. You also see the body of a pig, mostly destroyed, with blood trails leading off into the woods, with several varying sized footprints, all of them giant. You were just hit by the grass man.
You've been hit by. You've been struck
by. A smooth.
Alien Grassman Farm.
I know, you know, it's funny. I think of the cover more than I do the original.
Yeah. So, Grassman's from Pierpont. That's good to know.
Pierpont?
Yes, where my buddy Tyler's from, which is basically, he lived the life you just said. Except he milks cows. He doesn't milk cows, but.
What? Did I say it weird?
No, you did the milk instead of the milk.
Oh, I'm never not going to do that.
No, that's though. Okay. Own it. You know, that's what I say. Yeah. It's not what I say. I say milk, but you should own it.
But yeah, basically the Grassman is a type of Bigfoot. We're talking about a type of Bigfoot. I don't think it's the Bigfoot though. You know, it's like an off brand kind of. So it's like the Great Value towel to Brownie.
Yeah, the Great Value Bigfoot. But you know, I like setting the scene, setting the stage, because that would be very alarming. Like a lot of us don't live the lifestyle that you just described. Cost of living here is great though, but just that, like, not knowing what you're up against, right? Like, that's what makes so much paranormal stuff scary, is the unknown. And you walk outside and you see your pig's been destroyed, and you immediately might think coyote or something like that. But then you walk over and you see footsteps, you know, bipedal, and the blood going off into the... So even if you're dealing with a human, still something you don't... Like, that's still terrifying.
Yeah, it's still very scary what they did to your farm.
Yes. That instance, you know, something knows your farm is there, something knows your cattle is there, and it's dangerous, and you don't know what this entity is, and that is creepy.
Like, you're gonna have to stay up all night with a gun to make sure it doesn't happen again, kind of thing.
That was Honey Island, right? That one guy on his porch with the gun?
Yes.
All night?
Wasn't that Dogman?
Damn it. I think you're right. I think it was Dogman.
Yeah, because he was working security, was the laziest security guard ever.
I don't remember where, but it wasn't Michigan. That's all I know.
I think that one might actually be Michigan.
Damn, I'm very wrong, maybe.
Just all wrong, all messed up. So the Grassman is not green, unfortunately. His colors range from black, gray, and brown. I wish he was green.
He's got those neutrals.
Yeah, kind of to blend it like with grass. They're also known to be social, which is unique from Bigfoot. They're sometimes seen in mother-child units and occasionally in groups up to 5. Yeah, I think that's kind of interesting.
Small groups.
It reminds me of like almost like orangutans with like the mother child thing, and then like almost like gorillas. They also seem to be an extremely aggressive variant of the Sasquatch family. They're known to attack when hungry or threatened. And another name for the Grassman was Orange Eyes because of their orange eyes.
Mm, yes. Very creative. Maybe they just wake up angry because they're in Ohio. They wake up and like, God damn it.
Or the Browns got their colors from the orange eyes.
Oh, now they wake up because they're Cleveland sports fans and they're in Ohio. And they're like, ugh.
The Grassman also likes to roam in fields, farms, and forests of Ohio. They make dwellings outside of large trees that are kind of like nests slash huts, and they make them out of grass. And another defining feature of the Grassman is that they smell, and they're said to smell outrageously of rot. So they smell very, very bad. So with being Bigfoot, they are very large. They range from about 7 to 9 feet tall, and their weights range from about 800 to 1,000 pounds.
So they're like two deer.
Yeah, they're, well, at the smaller end, yeah.
Two very strong deer.
Yeah, very strong deer. I did see something on one website about Native Americans called these creatures the wild ones of the woods. However, the article didn't go farther into this, and they also didn't like name drop any tribes or anything, or any stories. So I don't know how true that is.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure, like, I specifically didn't see any Native American stories about them, because I looked.
Yeah.
And that kind of, spoilers for later, is going to be part of my rating.
Gotcha.
But basically from there, it's all encounters.
Ah, I'm going to enjoy this.
Cool. So let's move into the encounters together.
It's encounter time now.
So I got a lot of these from this website, which I'd never heard of before, called Bella Online.
Bella Online.
It's a woman's magazine.
Okay. You know what that makes me think of? Not a tangent, but it'll be quick, but it's off topic.
It's okay.
Is there are websites that aggregate recent UFO sightings. I think that'd be fun to report on. I don't know what we could do with that. It probably wouldn't be like main feed like this. I don't know if it'd be Patreon or YouTube or something. But I feel like there's something there worth talking about.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can tell by the grass, man.
This first encounter is from, I think, maybe one of my favorite websites, Ranker.
Haha. Was that creepy?
Was this creepy? Thank you. So it goes like this.
So this one's not from the Woman's Magazine.
This one is not. This first one's from Ranker.
Okay. A later one is from the Woman's Magazine.
Several later are from the Woman's Magazine. Yes.
Okay. I see.
But this one I liked. In, quote, in 1978, the Creightons had their first encounter with the alleged grass man. Evelyn Howe Creighton were sitting inside when their children came running inside screaming. The kids said that they saw a monster in a gravel pit nearby. When the parents went out to investigate, Evelyn claimed she saw a 7-foot-tall, 300-pound beast, not 800, 300-pound beast with dark hair. According to her account, this creature simply stood there until she ran away. This wasn't the Creighton's only encounter with the Grassman, though. In fact, the Grassman visited frequently enough that one of the Creighton daughters started to refer to him as Pet. The Creighton said the creature never really bothered them, but they always knew when he was there due to his stench. End quote. So the next story from, this one's from Bella. Like I said, there's a lot of these, like, little stories from Bella. This one takes place outside of Akron. I don't know exactly where, but I'd guess the valley, the Cuyahoga Valley.
So I like the valley. The valley's cool.
Yeah.
The Grassman was hanging out at Timbertop.
Actually, he probably could be.
He's like, this is so affordable. It's an apartment complex I used to live at. It was very cheap.
It was very, I don't want to say nice, but it was fine. It was good that for what it was. Sounds right.
Ohio Grassman at Timbertop.
Yeah. Maybe they have a special one made out of grass for him. So, quote, outside Akron in 1995, researcher and head of the Ohio Center for Bigfoot Studies, Jody Cook, found a primate nest of interwoven branches large enough for 3 adult men to fit inside. He attempted to investigate the nest further a few weeks later, but it was gone. End quote. That's it.
Okay.
So he found, like, a nest.
A little nesty nest.
They do kind of weave, though.
A dwelling.
They do kind of weave. Yeah, that was a question that Tyler gave me some shit about.
You have to listen to the quiz.
Yeah, I don't want to give it all away, but they do weave. The next story. Quote, late one night in Pleasant City, Ohio, which I don't know where that is, do you?
Pleasant City?
Yeah.
Know where I've been.
In 1996, a woman was awakened by a barking dog. When she opened her eyes, there was something in the window that began to growl at her. It backed away and walked toward her shed, turning to look back at her once. She described it as being very large, with wide-set eyes, a wide nose, and a big mouth. It walked on two legs. End quote.
She described it as a scorned lover. I don't know, it's weird, like creeping at her while she's laying, sleeping, right?
Yeah.
And then it's mad at her for waking up and noticing, and then it does that final look over the shoulder.
Yeah, it's, like, this guy's a peeping Tom.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Yeah, it's, I wonder if it's just, like, interspecies curiosity, you know?
Maybe.
So the next story, quote, in late December of 2006, Deborah and Terry Johns were enjoying the sounds and sights of their night at their campsite. It was almost midnight when they decided to pack and leave, but they saw a broad-shouldered, tall, black thing come over the ridge. Deborah went on to say, quote, every nerve in my body was twitching. Every tiny hair in my face stood up, end quote. So that's the Johns experience. They saw this thing come over. I mean, that's a creepy thought, though. Like, you're packing up to leave at night, and you see this creature just come over the hill. It's humanoid, it's giant, and you get tangles.
It was a campsite, though?
Yeah. So they were camping.
Is there any chance that could have just been a tall dude?
At midnight?
At a campsite? That doesn't sound crazy.
I don't know. I don't know. That feels weird to me.
That one... I'll leave that one on the table.
Okay. So the next one, quote, when the Monster Quest team, so Monster Quest, investigated the Ohio Grassman recently, they heard sounds in the woods that included wood knocking, form of primate communication. They also recorded vocal sounds of creatures that were not associated with any animals in the area. They said, I have no doubt the Grassman is a cryptid you could easily encounter if you choose to visit the region of eastern Ohio, or any part of Ohio. As anyone in the area would likely tell you, camp out in the woods near a farm or a cornfield and listen for the sounds of wood knocking and growling. I'd be prepared to defend myself, just in case. End quote.
That feels not true. And I don't mean that this instance and what they discovered isn't true, but I think that generalization of, like, ask anyone in Ohio, and if you go camping, they'll tell you, grass man's out there. Like, that isn't, I'm not saying what they, during their research, what they discovered, and I'd be very interested to hear what they recorded, but I don't know if you can extrapolate that upon anybody in Ohio would tell you.
I agree. That. So, like, I've been into paranormal stuff, like, a lot of my life, and I've never heard of the Grassman until recently. What about you?
I would say the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. And... I mean, like, we're not new to this kind of stuff.
No.
But I've never... we're Ohio natives, and, like, it's not, like, a thing that we know.
I knew about the Loveland Frogman before I knew about the Ohio Grassman. And I've many friends... I feel like this is more discussion-based. But tons of friends that went camping, nobody's ever... Like, people hear weird noises, but it's not like, oh, it's the Grassman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we can save more of that for the discussion. I just wanted to point that out. Like, I almost feel, like, personally attacked, you know?
Well, it's funny, because we do that to other places. Like, this area is known for this paranormal event. And they're like, what?
Huh? That's true.
Listen, guys, I know it's been a minute since I've talked about trying to get to 8% body fat, but that deadline is coming up.
I've been hitting the gym, too, and trying to get in better shape as well.
And that is why we've both been trying AG1 Athletic Greens.
I started taking AG1 because with my other, quote, protein powders, I wasn't seeing results.
Exactly. But with a single scoop of AG1, you're getting 75 high-quality minerals, vitamins, whole food-source superfoods, and probiotics.
Well, that's fine, but let's talk about the real selling point. It actually tastes good and isn't all grating like some of the other protein powders.
My suggestion, just add it to your routine, right? Like, you wake up, start listening to that new Believing the Bizarre episode while you're making your AG1, and before we even start diving into the topic, you've consumed a shake that has less than 1 gram of sugar, supports mental clarity and alertness without any nasty chemicals.
So essentially, it's like a life hack.
And don't just take our word for it. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. And on top of all that, for every purchase, Athletic Greens donates to organizations that help get nutritious food to kids in need, like No Kid Hungry.
Skip the supplements and the dozens of various pills. You can reclaim your health and arm your immune system with daily nutrition. All it takes is just one scoop of AG1 and a cup of water every day. That's it.
Still on the fence? To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase.
That's right. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/emerging.
Again, that is athleticgreens.com/emerging to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
So this is no more of Bella, at least for right now. I think I go back to it in a little bit. But this one is from Richland News. In Ashland, Ohio, a girl was leaving her 24-hour gym. At approximately midnight, the 20-year-old walked out to her car. Hers was the only car in the lot, but she was not the only thing in the parking lot. When she heard a twig snap, she spun her head 30 yards to the right and she saw a giant gray furred man creature running toward the nearby woods. A man named Matthew Monkeymaker wrote about this established Sasquatch case because he was the founder of the Bigfoot Field Research Organization. He wrote that the girl in Ashland told him, quote, she said, it ran back into the woods at an angle to right and was quickly obscured from her view by the corner of the gym building. She only saw a side view of it as it ran with long arms swinging. She said she most likely would not have noticed it at all, but for the noise of the twig breaking, which she assumed was caused by the creature standing on wooden debris. So that's what Monkeymaker said that she told him.
That no twig can stand the 800-pound Ohio grassman. But that seems like another instance of a peeping Tom.
Well, grassman. There's more about this, about why we think it's a cryptid and not just a guy.
The Ohio grass peeper.
He also said, Monkey Maker also said, from his own Bigfoot knowledge and from knowledge of the grass man and about how they hunt deer, he said, quote, whichever way the deer would have used to cross that island of the woods behind the warehouse gym is likely the same pathway this grass man would have used, Monkey Maker said, quote, if a deer or Sasquatch came to those woods from the north, there is only 100 yards or so of exposed field to cross in the dark before reaching a large swampy area connected to the Jerome Fork of the Mohican River. So the location is more plausible for a Sasquatch than it appears at first in aerial photos. The key element is the presence of deer. That shows there is both a pathway and a reason for a Sasquatch to approach the edge of the development at night. End quote. So because he thinks that these grassmen were hunting deer in the area, there's a reason for them to be on this trail.
I got you. That I like that they're putting thought into it like that. You know what I mean? Like that type of deduction.
Yeah, I do too. So, dude, what I want you to do is I want you to open up Gmail and go into the folder that I sent because there's a picture. I want you to look at it.
This one here?
Yep, that's it. Do you see, in the middle there's a figure?
I do.
Do you think it could be the Grassman? It was claimed that it was the Grassman.
If we weren't speaking specifically about the Grassman, and this was in Ohio, and someone just said, I think I got a picture of Bigfoot.
Yeah.
You know, then I'd be like, oh, yeah, I see what you're talking about. So, yeah, in that instance, I could see this
being claimed
to be the Grassman.
People on Reddit were very skeptical about it. They didn't think it was real. I don't know. It looks pretty good to me.
Well, let me put it this way. Something's there. Whether or not it's somebody in a suit, you know, or it's somebody in shadow, or it is the Grassman, like, there's something there. So if it's fake, it's intentionally fake.
I think people on Reddit thought it was a sign, like a cutout.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. It's got more depth than that, I think.
Yeah. I guess the legs are a different shade than the upper body. So,
I don't know. It looks really good to me.
It's tough to tell.
I find it very convincing.
I think it's definitely possible. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough too because you're like, oh, where's the good photos? But I think that's a good photo. And we question it, you know?
Gotta question it. But yeah, I mean, like, that's the type of photo where, like, I wonder, did they see it in that instance, or did they just happen to take that photo and they looked back and they're like, whoa.
It, to me, it looks like someone taking a photo and not realizing what they caught.
Yeah. It's a silly photo to take in it of itself, but that's okay.
Well, I think it's just like a nice picture of the woods, you know?
Yeah, with a nice car dashboard.
I mean, you edit that part out. You edit that part out.
I don't know. I think it's possible. I mean, it's better than some grainy, you know, other Bigfoot photos I've seen.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so I've got more from Bella Online. On January 23rd, 1896, the first encounter we were talking about, a man and his daughter were walking down a road near their home in Gallia County, where a large beast attacked the man. After a frightening long struggle, the girl hit the creature in the head with a rock, and it ran away. They described it as being a gigantic in size, hairy, with burning eyes. And that's the first reported case of the grass man. The next one is in 1988. A truck driver named Rich was traveling near Salt Fork State Park when he saw a black, wide, huge creature. He was able to see the beast clearly because of the snow-covered landscape and a small amount of foliage. It ran off into the woods. Now, according to the Akron Beacon Journal, there have been upwards of 36 sightings in the Salt Fork State Park.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so this, if you want to see the grass, man, that's where you go.
Apparently, apparently don't just go camping anywhere in Ohio. It seems like that's the
place.
That's destination truth.
They're also really uppity about the word evidence in the article.
What do you mean by uppity?
They use quotations around the quote. Like, they said evidence. Like, they were quoting somebody when they said evidence. And they use, like, double quotations.
Oh.
And they're like, so, the evidence.
Yeah. It's, like, it's not real. It's like, we're just writing about it.
F*** you, Akron Beacon Journal. Anyway, so let's move on to our listener's story.
What's up, Randy?
This takes place in New Miami, Ohio in 2005. And it goes like this. I'm just going to read it word for word.
Sure.
It said, quote, because it's not very long. Quote, this is my encounter with what my stepfather and I believe was the Ohio Grassman. It was the winter of 2005 and I was 11 years old. I lived in a very rural area on a small farm that was around 165 acres. Is that small for a farm?
165 acres?
Yeah.
You threw in for a farm. For a farm, I don't know. For normal, just like land, yeah, it's not small. It's quite a few. Like my parents, I think, have like 2 acres or like an acre and a half, and it feels big to me.
It feels pretty big to me. Anyway, next to our farm was a fairly thick wooded area that we would travel to from time to time to get firewood. The past few days, there was a fresh snowfall that had left around a foot of snow on the ground. And with the weather coming down, we were finally able to go out and restock some firewood. We arrived at the edge of the woods with our ATV and sled and began looking for the forest for fallen down branches and easy to break apart logs that hopefully weren't too wet. After searching for a few minutes, that's when we found it. What was in front of me was what I could only describe as some sort of nest or den. It was a sunken hole covered in wooden sticks, like a bird's nest, that extended over top and acted like a practical covering and dirt packed into the bottom. It was approximately 4 or 5 feet tall, and the nests are easily 7 feet across. Inside the nest, there was a distinct lack of snow in that area that was exposed to the open air. I had begun looking around the nest when I called my dad over to come look at this cool thing that I had discovered. I started noticing these clumps of snow / ice that had this dark brown wiry hair in it and held up one to my dad as he came over. He took the clump into his hand with a slight look of confusion that was quickly replaced with a blank stare of dread and concern as he looked into the nest. On the ground, leading away from the nest, were extremely large footprints with fully visible toes at one end. Each print was absolutely massive in size, with a decent amount of space between each step. I was about to begin following the footsteps away from the nest when I remembered becoming afraid for no reason. My dad started telling me to stay still in a very hushed tone, when off in the distance, there was three loud knocks. Oh, it sounded like a large branch being swung and struck against a tree. I panicked and froze up, but my dad leapt into action. He moved forward and picked me up and started running out of the woods. As we were running, there were three more loud knocks, but my dad didn't stop to see what it was. Once we got back to the ATV, he put me down on the back and told me to hold on tight. He jumped and started, and we sped back to the house where we stayed for the rest of the week. End quote.
And that was the last time we ever went to Ohio.
Isn't that interesting, though, about the knocks? Because the other story talked about the knocks, too.
Yeah, it is. It's creepy. It's not foreboding, but it's just eerie. Like, you stumble on something you feel like you shouldn't be at. You all of a sudden start putting pieces together, and as you do, you just hear this knocking in the distance. It's like a countdown, like something's getting closer. You know it's there. It might know you're there, and you just... props to the dad, because I would have been like, yo, let's investigate.
You know?
I wouldn't have known. It seems like this dad obviously goes on Google enough, listens to a couple paranormal podcasts.
Well, listen, that's... isn't that a crazy story? It's a lot for me. We can talk about the discussion, but there's some really interesting parts that match up for me. But anyway, let's move over to the discussion. All right, Tyler. So at this point, we need to stop the show, and we need to thank all the people that have joined us recently, as of this recording, on the Patreon. Starting with Taylor, Weston, Brachiosaurus 16, Dallas, Albu, Brian, Caddy, Hannah, Helen, Bo, Chris, and Christopher. Well, you know what? Thank you guys so much for joining, because with you recently coming on board, we have enough to officially announce that we've gotten to 200 patrons, and therefore I am getting my BTB tattoo.
I am so excited for you to get this tattoo. It is going to be either live streamed, or I'm going to make a video out of it, and it's going to be everywhere. I'm trying to talk to Charlie out of getting it somewhere where nobody will ever see it.
Yeah, no.
Unless you decide to wear it, Daisy Dukes.
I think you did. On the last extended response discussion, we changed it. We're going to put it somewhere else.
Which is why you need to start coming into these extended discussions, which are on Twitch every Tuesday at 8 p.m., where we talk about that episode live.
Yeah, and if you can't catch it live, they're on YouTube.
They are on YouTube, and we did make a big change. We changed where Charlie's going to hopefully get this tattoo, which is now possible because we hit 200 patrons. So Charlie will forever have BTB inked in his skin holes.
Oh boy, don't make it so ominous.
Ah, I love it. I can't wait.
Something really cool I want to do with this is, I think I mentioned this before, I want to try to get some glow-in-the-dark ink put into this as well.
I didn't even know that was possible.
Yeah, glow in the black light, like black light ink.
So when the lights go out, do you like neon?
Or is, well, it like no, neon? It has to be like black light. So if you go to like a rave.
Oh, that'd be really cool.
Or like, what's that called? Bowling from the 90s?
Oh, cosmic bowling.
Yeah, cosmic bowling.
Yes. So two things. One, shout out Hannah. She DM'd us and told us more about earthquakes. And how to be safe, yes, during earthquakes. But two, and I didn't get a chance to mention to the other 15 Brachiosauruses, but I'm going to tell Brachiosaurus 16 what they can expect now that they are in our Patreon, and I have notes this time. I'm prepared.
Oh, you can get awesome
ringtones, ad-free episodes, phone wallpaper, shout-outs like you just got on this here episode and this here Patreon, poll opportunities, quizzes, Do You Believe the Bizarre, interviews, monthly social media responses, Netflix watch parties, bizarre news, monthly giveaways, theatrical readings, director cut episodes, both audio and video, party chats every month, and... that's about it. Oh, yeah. And a shirt that you only get by being a dedicated tier member. You can't buy it. You can't force us to sell it to you. You only get it by existing in our Patreon as a dedicated tier member for 3 months.
Or if you'd offer an obscene amount of money. I'm not going to lie. That'd be, yeah.
It's got to be up there, because that is, if It would almost be a disgrace to our existing patrons to sell it. Because there's no monetary value on that type of love.
Right. Dude, that was a really good explanation of the Patreon. That's about nails it pretty well. So, Tyler, the grass man. It's an Ohio staple.
Is it, though?
I guess. Maybe not. I wouldn't say it's like a Buckeye candy.
Buckeyes. The Ohio State Buckeyes and the Grassman.
I would try Ohio Grassman candy.
Would you?
Maybe if it's not stinky.
Stinky pork stomach?
That's not a good candy.
You can tell the sign of the Grassman when he comes by and he just goes, oop.
Oop, oop.
You know how you can tell a Grassman from another Bigfoot?
What's that?
You put a can of Coca-Cola in front of him and say, what is this? And the Grassman's like, it's a pop.
Yeah.
Like, ah, we found you.
Yeah, and they all kill him.
Or, well, he's technically the most aggressive, so.
Yeah.
He might kill all of us.
Yeah, he's a Browns fan, so. Or he's a Bengals fan.
Technically, he probably would be a Bengals fan based on where he's mostly from, right?
Well, no, he's from all over. From, you know, there's actually two factions.
He's like, Ohio State, guys, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
They care more. They don't get paid.
Yeah.
Well, now they get paid, but.
They're the college kids. Little babies fighting. Anywho, like we mentioned before, we're both from Ohio. We grew up here. I'd never heard of this before. So I'm not saying that it's not valid because of that. I'm just saying I almost take umbrage that the one guy said, if you ask any Ohioan, that's not true.
I don't think that it's... I don't agree with that. I agree with you. I think what you're saying is true. But also, it's like, is it fair to knock the Ohio Grassman because an outsider thought that? Because there, I guarantee there's things that we have said on this podcast where we make it seem like certain paranormal entities or cryptids or stories are like super prevalent in these towns.
Yeah. Like the one I can think of like offhand is the Mirage. I forgot the name of the town.
Ruffin Mirage?
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people in Ruffin have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, or I was thinking like even like the Scribner Hill Devil. Like I don't know how many people in that area, like they might know about it, but it's like, you know, everyone knows if you go in that cemetery at night, you're going to see this. Like, man, you can't go anywhere at any time of day and see anything paranormal. Like that's just not.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, I know a lot of people that think that Bigfoot is in Ohio, and I actually have personal friends that believe they've seen Bigfoot in Ohio. So, like, when you're not into the paranormal, and you just, like, there's ghosts, there's, like, there's all aliens are aliens, all ghosts are ghosts, you know. When you're not, you know, separating grays from, like, is it the tall, thin whites?
Yeah, yeah.
Or, like, lizard people, or you're not separating, like, poltergeists from ghosts. You just think, oh, it's an alien, or, oh, it's a Bigfoot. So, I know people... And I've read about people that have claimed to see Bigfoot in Ohio. That doesn't mean that they aren't seeing the Ohio Grassman or believing to see the Ohio Grassman. They're just not calling it the Grassman. They're right. Telling people, I saw Bigfoot, which is still accurate. You're just not being as specific.
Exactly. Yeah, you're 100% right with that. Like that's almost like I talked to my friend about computer stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's a computer monitor. And he's like, actually, that's a... FEX-1000Z. I'm like, oh, cool.
So it's a monitor.
Yeah, right. Same thing. I'm uninitiated in that, so I don't know the specifics.
Well, it's a laptop, right? It's a laptop. Or is it Lenovo? Or is it a Toshiba?
Or is it
a good one, like a Mac?
Yeah, or is it an Edge?
Edge.
What's your Acer? Oh, it's the thing God, you're looking at me right now on.
Hey, it's beautiful and big, though. Ben is hitting me up.
Yeah, me too.
Can you hear the ding?
I can hear my phone ringing. But something I do find very interesting that no one talked about was Native American stories of the Grassman in Ohio, anyway. Because I do think that there are Native American stories of Bigfoot other places, but there's nothing from Ohio.
I don't know enough about this to speak on it, personally.
I felt like... I know there's such a rich history of Native Americans in Ohio that I felt like there might be something if it was true. Like, there might be something, but I didn't find anything. Maybe I didn't look in the right places. Maybe I didn't use the right search words. That is all very true. That could be why I didn't find it, but I didn't find it. So that hurts it for me a little bit, you know? I would expect it to be a richer history than from the latest sighting being from 18-something-something.
60s, right?
1860s? I think 56. But I would expect it to be from before the state was settled.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, because I don't think I know enough about it. Like, our big feet, are they more nomads, or do they pick an area and stick with it for centuries? You know what I mean? Like, maybe they wandered from the Pacific Northwest or like the Midwest. We are in the Midwest. I feel like we're Eastern, but more Midwest here, you know, over the last couple hundreds of years. I don't know.
That's just how I feel about it. I mean, I feel like I'd want to see a richer history, but there's also things that track along the same lines, like the one story talked about hearing knocking on the edge of forests. Our listener's story talked about knocking on the edge of a forest, talking about finding nests. There's also reported nests being found all over. And I think it's hard to it's hard to almost push those similarities aside, if that makes sense.
Like their traits, their behaviors that are crossing multiple stories that are claiming to be the same thing, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's giving it more weight is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. It does give it more weight, yeah.
I wonder what the knocking is. Do you think it's a warning sign? Do you think it's something, you know how they say like cats meow at humans, like they reserve that for humans? Mm. Have you heard that?
Yes.
Like, do you think the knocking against the trees is something they do to warn off other people or other, you know, potential, I don't want to say prey, but like,
I don't think humans are hazards. Prey to them. Maybe that's what it is, to scare off.
Well,
it
could be a warning, not necessarily as like, hey, I'm going to eat you, but like, don't mess with me. Mm-hmm. Or do you think it's something that we're just observing within their own group of species?
I'm not sure. That's hard to know that, but
it's their dinner time.
Well, something I didn't really touch on the episode is that they do like to hunt deer and eat them.
I don't know why I'm picturing somebody with like a Sasquatch with like a long ponytail that's braided, and he's got like a sniper. Just wait. What if the knocking on the tree is the dinner time, and you're gonna have a grassman in 40 years that are gonna be on tablets and computers, and then like, back in my day, I would wander the forest until mom hit the tree 3 times and. But now y'all are on your tablets and your gizmos.
Are they made of wood and rocks?
They don't do anything. They're just like, just holding a piece of tree trunk. Kids in their trunks.
Kids with goddamn wireless trees.
Like one kid in Ohio threw out their Game Boy Color and it got found and they just pass it from one group to the next.
I don't know. I like to think it's like a warning thing, not necessarily reserved for humans, but was made to scare things away.
Yeah, I don't think it would be like a human is nearby, let's hit this tree. It could be anything. It could be a coyote, it could be a bear.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So what do you think is the most credible piece of information? What's the least credible?
I think multiple sightings and traits and behaviors that cross stories, I think holds a lot of weight.
Yeah, I agree.
And I like that it's not all like the same. It's just like people claiming to see something tall and big. And it's like, it's palatable for us because everybody knows about Bigfoot. So even though we're going into a specific Bigfoot, it's still like something this isn't so super foreign to us that we can't wrap our heads around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that was part of my idea about taking on the Grassman, is that I didn't want to do such a giant topic as the Pacific Northwest Bigfoot.
The Bigfoot.
Yeah. It's like that feels like a Batman 4-hour special, you know?
Yeah. Well, then let's do like a 24-hour live stream where we just read encounters. We're just going to read other podcast transcript notes.
That's what I felt like I did with the Dogman one.
But so I would say that's the most credible. In terms of least credible, I don't particularly think there's anything about the Grassman. It just hit me. I keep wanting to say Der Grassman, and I couldn't pinpoint why, but it's Der Grossman.
Slenderman? Is that the Slenderman thing?
Slenderman, yeah. He was called Der Grossman. So when you kept saying Grassman, I kept wanting to say Der Grassman. It's not what it is. I don't think there's anything particular, like the way they build their houses out of like trees or whatever. Not trees, grass. Like grass. Yeah, okay, sure. If you say so. I would be more apt to believe they just line bushes or climb in trees. But, you know, it is what it is. But I think some of the stories weren't super credible, but I don't necessarily hold that because there were so many. Like if there was, there's, you know, the Grass Man is this cryptid that was built on one encounter. And if that one encounter was bullshit, then I would hold that against the Grass Man. But there's so many that even if you talk about 15, if there's two or three that I doubt the credibility of that experience, I can't, like our Apple rating, I would, you know, maybe it takes it down to like a 4.7 or a 4.8. But you know what I mean? Like it's not, I can't say the Grass Man is unbelievable because one of the few stories we talked about felt like a reach where it could have been just a tall guy at a campsite.
Yeah.
With a braided ponytail.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like stories, like just like kind of like little sightings. That's definitely part of it. Just like little snapshots. And also there's our own listener submission, which I weight more than all the other stories, honestly. Yeah.
Good detail too. Like it's just good stuff.
Really good story.
I definitely want to get that photo that you added on social media. Preferably today. I'll try and get it out on today on Tuesday if you want to get up on Facebook. But let's get that out. I want to know what people think, if they think that is either real or it's fake and planted, or it's not the Grass Man, but it wasn't fake. You know, it wasn't. It's just, you know, not what it seems. I'm curious what
people want to think too. Yeah. But I mean, other than that, I guess I'm going to give it, I give the Grass Man, I'm going to go with believable, actually. Yeah, I believe that there is this Grass Man in Ohio. What do you think, Tyler?
I have friends that feel like they've seen Bigfoot in Ohio, but I actually checked when we took a little pause. I wanted to see what I gave Honey Island Swamp Monster, because I feel the same, and I want to be consistent. And I gave the Honey Island Swamp Monster a viable, because that's how I feel about Bigfoot in general. Like, I feel like we're talking about different variations of Bigfoot.
I agree. But
in general, the Bigfoot, the Grass Man, I give it a viable. I think it's possible. Definitely think it's possible. If you believe in a Bigfoot, I don't know why it would be impossible.
What did I give the honey?
I gave it skeptical.
Did I?
Yeah.
I wonder why. Interesting, but I think this one's believable. I buy this one more than that one. Maybe because I told it. Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Bling Bizarre, where we talked about the Ohio Grass Man. The man, the myth, the legend.
I love these homegrown cryptids. The Loveland Frogman, the Grass Man.
We're rapidly running out of Ohio-based cryptids.
I'm surprised you didn't save this for like a Halloween. Make us save some miles driving.
Well, I thought it was.
No, I'm glad we talked about it. I like it. You got to sneak prevalent. Them big feet in when you can. Just like if you are enjoying the podcast and you want to sneak in a couple compliments, feel free to go over to Apple Podcasts, leave 5-star your thoughts. Oh man, that was great. Or if you're listening on Spotify, you know, save yourself some time. Just hit that 5-star and keep it moving. Listen to the next episode. Listen to some music. There's music on Spotify. I don't know if you've heard.
We got a lot of reviews on Spotify. I got like 2,000 reviews on Spotify.
That's because
it just keeps climbing.
It's because 90% of you listen to us on Spotify, and that's completely fine. That's however true. You want to listen to us, it's basically we are the dip, and the podcast platforms are the chip of your choice to deliver the real stuff to you.
I do want to add to that, though, if you don't mind. I do want to add, if you do like the show and you want to help us, I would recommend like actually telling people about the show, like in person, because nothing really beats word of mouth, and we would really appreciate that. Thank you so much if you have.
I like when somebody messaged us and they're like, hey, I just started listening, so and so recommended us, and it makes me go to that person and, you know, appreciate them, say thank you. It goes a long way. It means a lot. And anytime somebody personally recommends something to me, I at least give it the thought of checking it out. Depends on who it is, right?
Absolutely. And you're already a listener, and you made it this far, and you are a big fan of the show, and you want more, I'd say maybe give Patreon a check out something. There's a lot of content over there we talked about earlier in the episode, but there is really a lot to hold your attention.
And if you want to wear some Believing the Bizarre merchandise, we haven't talked about in a few weeks, but we still have our episode series designs out there, which are 6 specific designs that are based on episodes we've done in the past. Plus, we have basic merch, you know, Believe in the Bizarre, logo, stuff like that. Rock the pod, as Charlie would say. But as always, thank you everybody so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre,
a podcast as bizarre as you are.